He had his exam dream this week, and I had what I'm going to tell you is my nightmare dream. Don't know why. In this dream, I discover I have to sit an exam just hours or even minutes before it starts. I haven't prepared at all. I haven't revised. I haven't read any books on it. Sometimes I haven't even sat the course. But the exam is in, say, half an hour, and I'm rushing about trying to find something, anything about it, and to get there on time. It's a panic dream. And Trevor still has that one, but I say I used to have the exam dream because since I've been ordained, it has changed into the preaching dream. Honestly, I'm told I'm preaching about 5 minutes or 2 minutes before the service starts, or even as we walk in, and I don't even know what Bible passage it's on. I wake up sweating and my heart's pounding because I'm not ready. Not ready. In the passage we've just heard from Luke's Gospel, Jesus teaches his disciples about his second coming. The part we've just heard is an excerpt from the whole chapter about it. You might like to read it through later today or during the week. It makes for dramatic reading, talk of battles and earthquakes and great anguish and distress, and of Jesus appearing with great power and glory. It's very dramatic and difficult to understand. Parts of what Jesus says about the terrible and frightening things that will happen are traditionally considered to refer to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, at the climax of the war between Rome and Judea. Other parts are understood to refer to the much later time that hasn't happened yet, when Jesus will come again. The Greek word used is parousia, which means the presence or arrival of someone who has been absent. It was used to refer to a visitation by a Roman or Greek god, or of a state visit by an official or dignitary. Jesus is saying that he will visibly and personally return to the earth to be present again. Which parts of what Jesus says refer to which events, the fall of Jerusalem and his parousia, his return, isn't clear. I certainly don't understand it all, just what's going to happen and when. But what is very clear is that one day God will draw history as we know it to a close and make a new earth, which will have Jesus center stage, visibly and personally. That's what we mean by the second coming of Christ. He will return to judge and rule this new earth forever. Judge, we may think the idea of judgment is an ugly one to us liberal-minded 21st century people. But in fact, we do think judgment is a good thing when it's child abusers being found guilty, of racism being unacceptable, or genocide being found evil. We welcome that kind of judgment. In our world of violence and bullying, oppression and arrogance and terrorism and systemic injustice, the thought that there might be a coming day when the world is put to rights is surely very good news indeed. Especially when the one who is judge is not a hard-hearted, arrogant, or vengeful tyrant, but Jesus, who loved sinners and died for them, who took the world's judgment on himself on the cross. It is he who will return to judge us all. I wonder what you think of all this. There are three obvious reactions to this subject, Jesus' second coming. One is to be skeptical of it, not taking it seriously, saying it won't be a real historical event, although it is quite clearly what Jesus himself and later his disciples taught as truth. Another reaction is to take it too seriously and put undue time and energy into trying to predict exactly when and how it will happen. There have been people saying Jesus would return and the world as we know it would end on a particular date many, many times over. Back in the year 500, Hippolytus of Rome and Irenaeus predicted that Jesus would return in that year. In more recent times, Ronald Wineland made several predictions relating to 2012 and 2013, before he was imprisoned for tax evasion. No, we're not to be skeptics nor obsessionals. The third way to respond, the appropriate way, is to take seriously and grasp the point of being told that Jesus will return. That is, to make sure we are ready. If we read a little further on in verse 36, Jesus says to be ready at all times, ready for Jesus' return as judge and ruler. And of course, none of us knows for sure quite when we'll face our death. That too could be any day. And living ready for Jesus' return is the same way as living ready to meet him when we die. So what might we need to change if we thought we were going to meet Jesus as judge and ruler today? Are we living faithfully? Are we living wisely? Are we using well all that God has entrusted to us? And are we serving others in need? Do we take responsibility for our spiritual life and growth? Do we put time and energy into our relationship with God? Or does talking with him and listening to him in prayer and reading the Bible get pushed out by other demands? Do we think God can wait until later? Later may never come. Each of us needs to think about how we do those things to live ready, as we are individually responsible for ourselves before God. In the exam dream, I know that the outcome of the exam depends not just on the day, but on the work I've not done over weeks and months beforehand. That's why it's a nightmare, because I haven't done it. And in the same way, not thinking about Jesus' return and just hoping it'll be all right on the night won't work. We need to live as Jesus wants all the time. It's a long-term, everyday thing. Just as we can't become well prepared for an exam in half an hour or 5 minutes, so we will only be ready for Jesus to return by living as he wants, living God's way consistently, day in, day out. But please hear this. Please hear this. When we think about Jesus' unexpected return to judge and rule, we need to do so remembering God's love and forgiveness freely on offer. All of us have times when we fail, times when we don't live as we would want him to find us. But that's why the news of Jesus' birth at Christmas, that he was born to die for us and rise again, is such wonderful news, good news of great joy. It means we can be forgiven and accepted and given a fresh start again and again and again. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean we'll always get everything right, but that we discover quickly where we're going wrong and say sorry and turn around to change and live differently, thanks to God's love and forgiveness. And after the judgment, when Jesus comes again, there'll be a new earth, a new everlasting life, when we shall live under God's just and merciful and joyful and peaceful, loving rule forever and ever. So, are you ready? Let's get ready. Let's spend Advent becoming people who live ready for Jesus' return. Amen. Okay.